Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Buckhead, Atlanta, it's time for Simply Buckhead Radio with your host, publisher, and founder, Joanne Hayes.
I just realized that my title is publisher and founder, and as I was looking at the list of guests today, we have two founders in the room with us. So This is very exciting. Some really great guests today. Looking forward to our show and love to talk about what else is going on with Simply Buckhead.
Yeah.
How was your long weekend? Was it long?
It was just perfect. Actually, I was in here working yesterday too, but yeah, it's all good. So as the founder, so you found your passion as the founder?
We found our passion. Yes, we are the founders of the dream.
Let's see how long we can stick with this theme without being annoying. So where can people found copies of Simply Buckhead?
Yeah, Simply Buckhead can be found, all 24,000 copies in about 250 locations in Buckhead and Brookhaven, as well as the International Terminal. And yes, we do have them in studio today.
Location 251.
Yes.
Right? So we're pretty excited. Right after last week's show, two big old boxes landed in our studio, and we have them stored back here of the current edition of Simply Buckhead. And for those that are on the radio, can you draw a picture of this here? It's the cover.
Yes, it's our kids and pets issue. There's turtles and puppies and cats and kids, and they're all very, very cute. The stories are awesome. It's a great issue, and lots of copies out and circulating, and they are moving fast, so we highly recommend you go and scout one out.
And on a previous issue, on the front cover was Paul Millsap. Don't get you started on the Hawks.
Get me started on my Hawks, because you all know I love my Hawks. We had a great game yesterday. Pulled out a win at the end.
One more, and they'll tie the all-time franchise history record.
Yeah, playing fantastic, and the opening, I have to say, my Hawks people out there, the opening was fantastic. They introduced the players with the Hawks choir. Must have been 50 people out there singing. So as Ryan Cameron was introducing the players, this choir was singing out their names, and it was so powerful. These voices were amazing. So pretty fantastic. That was one of my favorite parts of the game.
Yeah, that's pretty unique. And the win, yeah.
The win, of course. is important.
So besides the Hawks and Simply Buckhead, so you have, you have a big event coming
up,
right?
Yes, we have a huge event, and we made some big changes this morning. So a lot we want to talk about. On February 3rd, we will be celebrating our fifth anniversary with a monstrous event being held at Jetlink's Signature Air, and we have a special guest performance by Ed Roland and the Sweet Tea Project.
Wow.
Finalized. We're very, very excited and grateful to Ed for bringing his crew and celebrating with us and our guests. The entire event is to help raise funds and awareness for Cure Childhood Cancer. We are trying to generate 600 gift pull items. We are already almost halfway to our goal with a number more to go and items coming in every day. The tickets, we've dropped the price to $20. We had intended to do them at $35. We dropped it to $20 because we would like to accommodate 1,000 guests so that people can enjoy the music and the event. There are 6 restaurants from Buckhead participating, as well as 4 liquor vendors, including Stoli and Great Signature Wines, Gordon Biersch Brewery, and Sinless Cocktails. We've got Ocean Prime, Davio's, Seasons 52, Buckhead Diner.
Why do you do this when I'm so hungry at this hour of the day? You mentioned all these restaurants, yeah.
We want to encourage people to buy tickets, so please go to our website, simplybuckhead.com. You can purchase right online.
And remind me real quick, the causes this, the benefits?
Cure Childhood Cancer, which is a local charitable organization dedicated to eradicating childhood cancer. They do a lot of fundraising for research and fellowships in the local market and helping the families of those children who are suffering with cancer.
And you had the founder on the show a while back, right?
We had the executive director, Kristen Connor. Yes, we did.
Awesome. Well, amazing stuff here in Buckhead, and it's just the place to be, place to tune in, and you have an amazing lineup of guests here.
I do. We have rock star guests, as you've been tweeting. We have rock star guests in the studio today,
I'm going to let you take it from here. I'm going to do some social media and check in with the end of the
show. Sure thing. Well, I'm going to introduce everybody first, and we're going to start with our first guest is Sarah Catherine Smith, the founder of One-on-One Matchmaking, which is an upscale dating service. I'm very excited to have you here today. I think we're going to have some fun with your questions.
Thanks.
It'll be a lot of fun for our audience. Our next guest guest is Robert Lowe, the general manager of the Mandarin Oriental, and welcome to you, Robert.
Thank you, Joanne. It's great to be here.
Great to have you guys here. You guys have all been so supportive of our publication, so we appreciate that. And our third guest today is David Abes. Yeah. Am I saying it right? Is it Abes or Abes?
Abes.
Okay, so it's Abes. I'll never get that wrong again because I've pronounced it 100 different ways since I've known you.
All good.
Well, and David is fresh off a stint at Here to Serve Restaurants and is now the regional director of operations for LDV Hospitality.
Correct.
Very, very exciting move for you, and
amazing.
We're definitely going to talk about that. And our first guest that we're going to actually interview is John Meadow, the founder of LDV Hospitality. See my theme, Sarah Catherine and John, founder of LDV Hospitality. And we are so excited to have you here in Buckhead, Atlanta.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes.
Thank you for having us.
This is a really wonderful time for Buckhead, as you know. And you chose a premier location to launch several of your concepts. And before we get into the actual concepts, I wanted to talk about John himself just a little bit, because having had the opportunity to meet him last month and have an inside tour, I was very, very impressed afterward when I went and researched your background. So I know that, you know, in the restaurant industry, so many of the people that come into the restaurant industry have this like long history of cooking and hanging out with their grandma and learning all the recipes, and that's their background. And they don't necessarily have the business side of it, so they learn through all the mistakes of starting a concept. But you, I think, had the exposure to the food, but you also had the business background. So,
but also lots of mistakes.
We all do.
I think I learned from.
I know any of us business owners. It's full of lots of mistakes and learning experiences. But what's your actual background? Like, how did you get to this point where you wanted to even begin this concept?
I think everyone falls into the restaurant business for some shape or form of passion of sorts. And for mine, it was very much shaped by my grandfather was an architect, and growing up around him and watching him create space for the public domain, that was the driver, that was the passion. Of course, restaurant is a beautifully public forum of people coming together. If you just want steak and potatoes, stay at home, mm-hmm. or have pasta cooked by your grandmother, whatever your ethnicity, whatever your cultural upbringing and food may be, you go to a restaurant for a public forum, and I think that was ingrained in me from a very young age, and that was my passion, to go and create spaces and the public environment for people to come together with food and drink and to socialize.
So your schooling background, tell us about the schooling piece of it, because you must have learned some of this.
I was fortunate enough to go to the Cornell Hotel School. Mm-hmm. I think the joke in my company has always been that I went to Cornell. My partner went to Cornell, and we always joke that we'll never hire anyone that went to Cornell. And Cornell's great for business, but what we need are people that are great for restaurants. And often they're intertwined. I think through our business and development pursuit, the education, the network has been quite powerful. But at the end of the day, the success of LDV Hospitality has been built on having a fantastic team of people like the gentleman David Abes that we're so grateful to be able to welcome as a partner into our business here locally. And those dynamics are quite powerful. But at the end of the day, it's a human business. It's a people business. Mm-hmm. And the Cornell education, the alumni network has certainly served me well.
I'm sure. The LDV concept, what does LDV stand for?
LDV is derived from La Dolce Vita, which in French can be Joie de Vivre. I don't speak French. I speak Italian.
Italian.
So we ended up with La Dolce Vita, but the spirit of the good life. And it goes back to that charming feel that is the public forum of a restaurant. And specifically, if you consider La Dolce Vita, and for me, in a personal basis, Fellini's Rome of the 1960s and that nostalgia of those old black and white films and the glamour that kind of comes with that. If you look at one thread throughout our various different concepts, whether it be something casual like a coffee bar to fine dining to the restaurant to nightclub space, everything is rooted very much in the classics. And I think that relates back to the name and the ethos of the company. And for me, on a personal basis, it'll always go back to my grandfather's that old style architect and his era.
Well, you know, they all often ask about people like what decade they relate to most. Is that the decade that you sort of
In my dreams, I can only speak so much to Rome of 1960s as I was born in 1980. But in my wildest fantasies, I think that's a special place.
I was born in 1960. I know I'm dating myself here. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. I'm old enough to be everybody's mom. Every time I do a show, I say I'm old enough to be everyone's mom. I don't think so that today, though, really. What was the first of the LDV concepts?
The first venue I ever opened was a bar in 2004. Called Local West. It's still there. And then thereafter, I had a miserable failure of a restaurant called Gin Lane in New York City's Meatpacking District, but we had a fantastic lease. So restaurant 101, the first thing they told us on the first day of school was location, location, location. That served me well. It was an extraordinary location in the Meatpacking District in New York, which really did evolve. And in 2008, we renovated that restaurant and turned it into Scarpetta, which was nominated for the best new restaurant in the country and 3-star review in the New York Times. And from there, we really grew that brand down to the Fountain Blue in Miami, the Montage in Beverly Hills, and the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas. So from there, we were able to build a business.
You are a young man, too. I think the success has come at a really early age. But it's very exciting. You have a very good business sense. You've surrounded yourself with great people. The people themselves, I mean, we know David personally, so we know how high quality this particular acquisition is. Where do you find your people? You mentioned Cornell, some of the alumni. Do you go into a place and sort of seek out by asking folks locally, you know, who's the best and, you know, who would you recommend? And do you look that way or do you sort of just scout it out?
There's no science to it. I hate when people say he has good luck, she has bad luck. We all have good and bad. Good things, I believe, happen to good people, and good people certainly follow good people. Mm-hmm. So the Cornell thing has been fantastic for business development in terms of building our core team, which is fundamental ingredient, number one, if not number two, to location, location, location. In the restaurant business, it's a small community, and when you have a good team of people around you, they always have their context and their history, and it all kind of evolves naturally. We don't use headhunters. We don't have personal IQ style personality test. It just kind of clicks from a rather natural perspective. And our ability to grow thus far has been largely defined by the team of people around us.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, talk about the concepts that are here in Buckhead, Atlanta, because this is location, location, location. And you've chosen some really interesting things to bring here.
I think Buckhead, Atlanta, as a community and as an environment, not specifically the shopping neighborhood that is Buckhead, Atlanta, but just the actual place, is a very compelling fundamental community of you see local faces. Been coming down here now for about 2.5 years, and I actually recognize people now, and that sense of community and place is very powerful. It doesn't feel just like another transient community. It has real roots, and those are the type of environments that we like to open restaurants, because we like to see familiar faces. The ambition that is the Buckhead Atlanta project of developing a very well integrated lifestyle community at a super high level with the best retail brands in the world. And Spanx is this extraordinary local success story, basing their corporate headquarters there. All of the phenomenal restaurants and the family of restaurants that are there. It's a very lofty ambition, this community that they're creating, but it's certainly the exact type of environment that we want to be a part of. And we feel very much honored and privileged to be a part of it. Dean Oliver's vision for this project is spectacular. And it's the exact style environment in the right city for us to venture outside of our home in New York. So we feel great about coming here. In terms of the three specific concepts, the first we've opened already is Corso Coffee. Corso Coffee is an Italian-style coffee bar. The name Corso derives from the main artery in the city of Rome is Via del Corso, which is this kind of grand walking boulevard that everyone gets dressed up and they do their Sunday afternoon strut through of sorts. So the idea of, again, that public sense of place. We opened our first Corso in New York City around 2 years ago. And we're thrilled to bring it here in Atlanta. This one is a really exciting one. It's 1,500 feet plus a 500-foot outdoor patio. We built the entire facility in Italy, had it broken down, shipped over here, which was certainly expensive, but the end result, I think you'll see,
it's
quite
beautiful.
Charming, and it's a beautiful build-out. But effectively, the Italian-style coffee bar means cappuccino, fresh squeeze OJ, and a croissant in the morning for breakfast, evolving into the charcuterie board and cheese plate for aperitivo happy hour with a glass of wine in the evening. And it really becomes that all-day destination, whatever you want it to be. If you just want to go and have a glass of water, come. If you want to have 3 glasses of wine in the evening, come one, come all. It's a very welcoming environment. And that's Corso Coffee. We opened that just before the Christmas holiday. And it's off to a fantastic start. And that's the first
one. By the way, a distribution spot for Simply Buckhead. I have to throw that in there. Mm-hmm. One of the managers there was very complimentary and asked to have our magazines there immediately. So, yes, we are there too.
It's a critical part of the ingredient of the cafe to sit down and read good periodicals.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
So and the other thing I will say, I so appreciated when we went on the tour with you, one of the comments I made was that there needed to be some hooks under the bar because ladies love to go somewhere and put their bag underneath. When I came in my first time for coffee, there were hooks underneath there. I hung my bag. I took a picture of it to show you.
I appreciate it, but it goes back to the concept of having a bona fide experience. There's lots of great coffee out there to walk in and get a styrofoam cup to go, and it's this transactional convenience. We'll offer that for those that want it, but the goal, of course, is to serve as a real sense of home and place and community. Go spend 2 hours just hanging out. And if your purse or your jacket's not appropriately protected, how can you spend 2 hours?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you nailed it. So Corso Coffee's nailed it.
So then the other two, our biggest project here at Buckhead Atlanta, although all three are of equal importance to us, is American Cut. American Cut it's going to be a three-level. It's a modern American steakhouse. Our chef partner is Mark Forgione, who's one of the Iron Chefs. It really goes back to... It's funny, coming to Atlanta, everyone says, why in the world would you want to compete with Bones and Howe's? And I can certainly say that now that I've dined at many of the Atlanta restaurants, I feel well-versed in the community, enough so that I can go to Howe's practically every time I come here and be very happy and thrilled to go there. Where American Cut differs from these others is we're certainly not stupid enough to go and think we're going to compete with these good old boy local favorites. And we don't want to compete with them. American Cut, in terms of a restaurant offering, it really is a modern restaurant and feel. It's rooted in steak, but the overall service experience feels more like a contemporary American restaurant. The design inspiration takes a lot of New York Art Deco meets a little bit of gritty rock and roll, and we do play the music loud, and it's a fun overall experience. Not overly stuffy, not overly serious. At the same time, you have a Michelin-starred quality chef preparing his offering. So we expect to open American Cut, realistically late summer, early fall, and that's a really exciting project because it's practically three restaurants in one. We have the bar and grill open for lunch and dinner every day. The main dining room on the second floor will be dinner only. And then on the roof deck, we have our Regent Cocktail Club, which is a group of extraordinary bartenders who are based in Miami. And they're kind of a traveling band of brothers doing their craft cocktails. So we'll have a 5,000 square foot indoor-outdoor roof deck bar, which will complete American Cut. Wow. And then lastly...
Just announced.
Mm-hmm.
Just announced this week,
we are opening... an Italian concept called Dolce Italian. Dolce is our modern Italian restaurant, as opposed to Corso being much more the Italian cafe bar. Dolce will be open for lunch and dinner daily. The chef is Paolo Dorigato. And our big news with Dolce, which we're very excited about, and we hope you'll all tune in, is that there's a new show on Bravo Television.
You beat me to the question.
Oh, forgive me. Do you want to ask the question or shall
I go
ahead?
No, you go right ahead because this is tomorrow.
So there's a show airing tomorrow night called Best New Restaurant. The host is Tom Colicchio. It's produced by Gordon Ramsay, where 16 restaurants from around the country compete for the title of America's Best New Restaurant. And I think I'll get executed if I say anything about results. But it was really fun to participate, and I'm pretty confident that we'll do okay in the competition.
Well, we're in the media business, so we understand. You don't have to give away all your secrets.
Thereafter, the idea of opening here in Buckhead is quite exciting. So
we want people to know what John was just saying is it's tomorrow night at 10:00 on Bravo, right?
Correct.
Okay, so tune in, audience. You're listening. 10:00 tomorrow night. And you can see that show airing on Bravo. John, we're really excited about having you here, not just for what you're bringing to Buckhead Atlanta in the restaurant world. One of the things you brought up that has been a recurring theme for us as a publication, we are dedicated to serving the community of Buckhead. And when we met you, that was the one thing we took away from our meeting with you. We left with the same kind of feeling we left when we met Dean Oliver. It was the same sense of, wow, this guy really understands our community. It wasn't just about somebody putting a business here. And as a publication, I can tell you that's what we're all about. We don't just sell people pretty ads and write cute stories. We're here to serve the community. And it is a really dynamic, evolving community. The age, the demographics are changing, the needs are changing. And we've really just felt the same way about you as we did about Dean. And we have great respect for what you're doing and appreciate what you have come in with a philosophy of serving the community.
I couldn't be more flattered to hear it, so thank you for this.
You're welcome. Well, we wish you every success here, and we will certainly be here to support you and David in the endeavor.
Thank you.
How can people find you or follow you or read more about your company?
The website for the company is ldvhospitality.com, and our Instagram feed is at ldvhospitality. That showcases all the various brands. All the individual restaurants have their own, but if you go to at ldvhospitality, you'll find
And that's Twitter also. Yes, I do know that because we tweet and we follow and we get retweeted by you. And I know that Corso Coffee has its own at Corso Coffee because every time I tweet something, David retweets me.
Very true.
Well, thank you so much, John. And we're going to move on to David. And again, thrilled to have these guys here with us today. David has a very long history in Atlanta working in the restaurant industry. And David, I'd like you to tell our audience, even though we all know who you are, it would be great to hear your story, how you started in the industry, even in Atlanta, because I know you've been doing it a lot longer than I've even lived here.
It's been a long time. Yeah. Well, my dad was a dentist, and I worked in his office for one summer, and cutting teeth was not for me. And we always ate out, and I was always intrigued by what was going on, the energy, everything that's happening in restaurants. And I said, I want to be in the restaurant business. So at 15 years old, I worked G.D. Ritzy's quick service hot dog place, and I just always fell in love, waited tables, and went to Arizona State for college, but always knew I was going to get in the restaurant business. And with the Olympics in Atlanta, I said, I got to come back here. So came back, worked for Morrison's Corporation with their L&N Seafood, their casual dining. And then my goal was always to be in more finer dining. And anyway, Steve Alterman owns Horseradish Grill, was friends with Pano, and Pano called me and said, how would you like to come run the fish market? The restaurant I was running at the time was doing about 1.8. They were doing about 7 million. I was 24 years old. I said, oh, I can handle this, no problem. My first day was a ceremony, actually, for the big fish. And my training there was, here's the keys. We're closed for a private party. Good luck. So anyway, so I turned that.
Thrown to the wolves.
Oh, yes. But it was loved every minute. So, yeah, went from about 7 million to when I left to almost 12 million. So it was a good run there. And always, past 14 years, I've been with Here to Serve Restaurants and met John back in March, April, and we talked, and I just said it was time for the next chapter in my life, and I'm really excited about his company.
It's a great chapter. A great chapter. I think you're living in the cusp of history, as we say right now in Buckhead, and this is a great, exciting project. So what do you feel makes LDV such a great company? Because big move, 14 years, you moved on. You felt obviously something very passionate and strong about moving on. And what did you feel made it a good fit for you?
I mean, the most important thing is the people, the quality, the standards. That's what I love. It's the attention to detail. And, that's what I'm all about, is making sure our guests are happy and repeat guests and all that. But it's, the food quality and everything has got to be there. The attention to detail in our dining rooms is perfect. It's passion. We're very passionate about what we do. Mm-hmm. This is not a job. This is our life. And that's when it comes to Dolce Vita, that's what we do. We live, breathe restaurants. We live, breathe this company. So it's very important about that.
I think one of our guests here in December was commenting on how when you love what you're doing, you never work a day in your life.
Very true.
It's just you're living your passion. And I mean, I feel that every day. I always tell people, I get out of bed in the morning and I pinch myself and think, I can't believe I get to do what I love. I mean, you work for other people for many years, and you work to get to a place where you're doing something that you're totally passionate about and that you can wholeheartedly jump into it. And I never feel like I'm working, even though sometimes you see me at 11 o'clock at night sending you guys emails. That's how it works. And it's just because we're passionate about what we do. So I can totally appreciate that. And any other details about the three restaurants? You have a different day-to-day sort of view from John, who is the founder. Yeah. So, what's the kind of day-to-day? Take us through a day or what you see as the future.
Well, what's funny is because I get up now at 5:30 in the morning. I was used to going to bed at 5:30, so it's a change of pace. But you get
up. Your kids probably like that, though. You're home at night.
Oh, yeah, I've been home some nights now. Yes, they've seen me more, so that's nice also. We get up. Corso Coffee opens at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. We get there, prep. Everything's made in-house, croissants, all these different things. So it's great. In addition to that, construction. I mean, right now, working on the Dolce concept and American Cut. So not only running the day-to-day operations with Corso, but working on the details and making sure those restaurants are perfect and under budget and, doing the right thing on that one. So it's still a full day, and I love it. And I love it. So.
You just said John's magic words, under budget.
Well, this is a business. And as my old boss would say, what pays the bills? Butts and seats.
Right.
And that's what we want. We want full restaurants. And that's what I've grown accustomed to from all the years in the restaurant business. We're only as good as our guests, coming in the restaurant. And as long as we make them happy, the answer is yes, what's the question? That's what I've always had my philosophy about, is I just want to take care of the guests and make sure they keep coming back time and time again. is they're going to spread the gospel and say, hey, I had a great experience at Corso. What's your next venture? And that's when what's coming to Dolce and American Cut, because that's a stepping stone for the rest of the restaurants. So, and that's my goal. You know, people walking in, David, what are you doing here? You know, now there's a whole story behind it, and people are excited.
Well, and one of the things John may or may not know about David, maybe you do because you've been working with him side by side a little bit over the last month. David never hesitates to retweet anything that is tweeted out to him. So wherever he was, if somebody tweeted out to him about a restaurant they were in, he'd retweet, he'd comment back, say thank you, you know, glad you had a great experience. And that's one thing we've watched with you and have done that with you on Twitter over the last few years. So it's a lot of fun because he's always present, and that's always been very impressive. Not everybody does that, you know?
I don't sleep that much. But
no, I know.
I think what she says is important. You want to be recognized. And, you know, if you're in one of our restaurants, I want them to know you're the king and queen of the restaurant. And I think it's important. It's fine. My wife, I'm not on Facebook, but, you know.
Yeah, so I don't do that either. Yeah, I leave that to my social media gal who does such a great job.
People love that. When they're at a restaurant, I see, oh, they're in one, oh, they're celebrating a birthday, call the manager, hey, get over to that table, make sure they had a great time. So people love that.
It's very, very important. What is your actual role? You know, we know your title. So what does it involve?
I'm the head dishwasher.
I'm the chief gopher, I get it. So. I got the hand truck in my car.
It's honestly what's amazing is every day is something different. And it really has to do, like I said, it's the day-to-day operations. It's the human resources with dealing with your people because you're only as good as your people. It really has to do with construction. I mean, every day it's something different. So it is. I mean, like I said, 1 hour I could be working at Corso, you know, working behind the counter. The next hour I'm meeting with contractors.
Yes. Did you have a comment?
No, just like from my perspective, what's funny is that out of all of the business moves and decisions and strategic plays, so to speak, in my career, and I'm young, but I've been fortunate enough to open and close lots of different restaurants. Few things I've ever done have received more compliments than having engaged in a partnership with David Avis. I know that I could not feel stronger about this. And in terms of his role, title, we always talk about title in our organization means effectively nothing. And that role and responsibility and the whole thing. And what we will not be perceived ever is out-of-town New Yorkers. We've been very cognizant and we've watched how many extraordinary talents have come to Atlanta and failed miserably. Restaurant is about the people. It's a team sport, and it's about the ingredients of everything from my passion, which is the design, to Chef Mark Ford Jones' passion, which is his steak. But at the end of the day, it's about the people in the restaurant that make that happen. And that can't be faked, and it certainly can't be managed from New York City. So for me, David's role in the most critical piece of all three of these restaurants, not to put any pressure on David, is to be David and to be the local hero that he is and to run these restaurants with his heart, passion, and soul as if they're his, because they are his. And his role is ultimately as a managing partner of the LDV for Buckhead Atlanta is to bring these restaurants to life and to make them a real place by virtue of putting his personality, his passion, and the team around him. And I know he's going to be successful in that.
He will. He will. We know that for sure. You definitely made a great choice. We said that from the beginning. We were very excited when we saw him at the tour, and we know that you know it is the people, and David will help you be very successful here. And the sense of community, the fact that he lives here, the fact that it is local, you know, we never perceived you as the out of state, you know, absentee owners.
and that's what I mean. I'm still going to be involved, you know, on the board of the food bank with JDRF, and that's what we want to do. Is, you know, we're going to be Atlanta restaurants. So.
Well, and let's talk about that. You just mentioned one of the other items I was going to bring up, because I think when you're in the restaurant business in Atlanta, restaurants have a pretty special place in terms of philanthropy in the community. We have been sponsors of Share Our Strength for the past 5 years. We were actually sponsors before we even launched our magazine. We were invited to be a media sponsor. Allison Palestrini recognized what we were about to do and felt it was very important that the Buckhead magazine be involved. And I know that you're affiliated with several charitable endeavors.
Yes. My two most important are JDRF. My son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 2.5. And what was crazy is, I don't know if, when I met with John, I mean, John, all of a sudden, I saw he had a pump. And so we instantly engaged about topics about, you know, type 1 diabetes. And it is. It's one of those things. It's a manageable disease, but you got to manage it. And as my son's getting older, you know, you get more loosey-goosey. So, you know, I want him to be responsible and all that. And it is. So, you know, my biggest thing is finding a cure to find a cure for type 1. That's number one. And, of course, what do we do every day? We feed people who are privileged enough to eat. And for me, the Atlanta Community Food Bank has been one of those things I've always been very involved with. And being on the board, and then I came up with this crazy roast idea fundraiser, mm-hmm. which has been unbelievable. And that's every 2 year kind of thing. And we just had this back in November and had record number we raised money wise. I just couldn't believe it. It was one of the best nights at the food bank.
Have you been roasted yet?
I have not been roasted. No.
That may be coming. And without his knowledge, probably.
No. I chair that. No way. I'm always there. No. Not going to happen. So I'm not old enough to be roasted. So
it was a lot of fun. It was very interesting. Some of those people got a little bit feisty.
Well, you know, when it's a roast, it's supposed to be a roast. You know, it went from basically about PG to PG-13 to about XXX right there for a while.
It sure did.
You know, that's what the alcohol kept flowing for some people up there on stage.
We had Mara Davis last week in the studio as an observer. She was here with Woo Skincare, so we were talking about the event. And she said she tried very hard to keep it clean and stay. Got a little out of control, but she said she tried super hard.
Well, you know, no one fell off the stage this year.
That's true.
So it's okay. But yeah, Mara is amazing. I'm very lucky. She's been a dear friend of mine for a long, long time, and she's been very supportive of the food bank and everything I've done. Mm-hmm. So I love her to death.
Yeah, we're hoping to have Bill Bowling and Angie Clausen on at some point in the next month as well.
And same thing. Bill is just one of those things. I mean, he needs to run for governor. If he doesn't, then he'd be a fool. Because the guy is just his just philosophy on life and what his passion is just unbelievable. What he's created with the food bank, it wows me.
We feel that way in Atlanta in general. You know, being a New Englander, I've never seen anything like the philanthropy here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And the restaurant community especially, they seem to rally around their own. A lot of different smaller organizations, the Giving Kitchen, you know, other things that are really well done in the restaurant industry. And it's people supporting each other in the industry. So
you have to. And we're all family. I mean, that's what it is. All the restaurant community, it's not like we're enemies. We all work together as a team, and it is. Whatever the cause is, and there's a million different causes, you have to go all in, and that's what we do. And that's with LDV, that's what we're going to be doing also.
Well, it's a strong restaurant community here. You picked a great time to be involved, and you know, we wish LDV Hospitality, Corso Coffee, La Dolce, and American Cut. Very excited about all three concepts. Wish you guys all the best this year. And we're going to be here to support you all along the way in whatever way we can, through social media and editorial and anything that we can do to help the process. David, how can people find you on social media?
Social media, Twitter, at David Abus, and then ldvhospitality.com. I'll be on website and all that stuff also. So you know how I like the Twitter. So yeah, that's that.
David loves the Twitter. Follow him, follow LDV, follow at Corso Coffee since they're already open. And if you go into Corso Coffee, take some photos, tweet them out. They do get retweeted. It's a lot of fun. Personally, I can't wait to go back in for the charcuterie because I don't think it was up and running the day that I came in. It wasn't going yet.
Yep. We added a bunch of desserts also. So it's one of those great meeting places.
And everything is made fresh.
Everything's made from scratch. On scratch, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So it's nice. Paulo, our chef, came up from Miami, and it's unbelievable what he does. It's watching him work is really, like I said, it's a wow factor.
So there's a local chef at Corso, and there are baristas who are specialized in the equipment. There's some special equipment in there. Maybe you can talk about the equipment that's in Corso.
The equipment.
Because I was quite fascinated by these machines that are specialty, and they come from Italy.
John,
am I right?
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah,
so the one thing with Corso and espresso in general. It's funny. I believe in the local food craze and sourcing local ingredients, et cetera. But the reality is espresso comes from Italy, period. So all over the Pacific Northwest and Seattle, it's great, it's cute, and it's very popular. But there's certainly always a place for the kind of classic traditional Italian espresso. So our espresso, while we do as much in-house as we certainly can, we're very proud to say that the espresso is wood-roasted in Pistoia, which is outside of Florence, and makes the journey across the sea. The machines themselves, we have two different machines. One is a new Faema. Faema is a classic espresso roaster from Milan. And the former Maserati designer actually designed the machine that we currently have, which is really cool. So the guy that did the Gran Turismo. So it has all the, if you look at the geometry of it, the shape and everything is quite cool.
And it costs as much as a
Maserati. I was just going to ask what the price point was.
And budget, that's David's job.
Exactly.
Unfortunately,
you didn't keep him under budget.
Thankfully,
on that
he's the
one,
disciplined
right?
one. I don't come in under budget on much. And then the other one, which is really exciting, is the Electra. The Electra is that old-fashioned big brass tower. So we offer two different type of espresso at Corso: our Corso roast and the Ineri, which is the really higher end one. And if you order the Ineri espresso, granted, it's unfortunately, rather costly as it should be because it's such a special thing. It's made in that old-style Elektra machine. It's literally a 100-year-old design, and it's quite a showpiece for us.
Coffee people, I hope you're listening because this is special, and it's Corso Coffee right on Peachtree Road in Buckhead, Atlanta. Thank you so much, John and David. Really a pleasure to have you here today. And,
Thank you, John.
Looking forward to Corso Coffee again myself. My 2:30 to 3 o'clock fix usually.
There we go.
So we're moving on to Mandarin Oriental Atlanta and Rob Lowe, the general manager. And again, great to have you in the studio with us today.
Thank you, John.
We've been able to have a wonderful relationship with Mandarin Oriental. You folks have been very generous with us on several events we've had. And I was recently in the spa, which I'm very excited I had an opportunity to do that. It was my first time there. And anybody who's seen my photos on my LinkedIn or Facebook or anything else where my photo is out there, I was actually shot at the Mandarin Oriental. So we have a special affinity for that location and really appreciate everything you've brought to Buckhead.
No, it's our pleasure, Joanne. As you stated, the spa is very unique, the way we operate our spas at Mandarin Oriental. In essence, we make sure that the customer books time. So without necessarily booking an appointment when you call, perhaps a month in advance, you book the time. And then when you arrive, there is, through the consultation with the therapist, through the dialogue, then you determine what the best treatment is at that time. It's a very holistic approach that we take with all our customers. It's very custom, which I think makes for a wonderful experience. In addition to that, to being able to enjoy the treatment, you can enjoy the facilities. We have a 60-foot lap pool that is accessible to anybody attending the spa. We, of course, have the wonderful fitness center. And then the wet areas, right? The steam room, the sauna, and our vitality pool. So it's a great escape, as I call it. It's an urban oasis in the hustle and bustle of Peachtree, which is fantastic.
Well, I was told to come in 30 minutes early, which I did, and I came in ready to do a little bit of a workout and was able to step up on the treadmill for about 20 minutes. Then I went into the sauna. Yeah, so I enjoyed it all. And then after the massage, went down and did a few laps in the pool and then had lunch poolside. So it was a lovely afternoon. It was definitely a nice escape. It was quiet and peaceful. And, you know, you look outside and there's cars everywhere on Peachtree and you realize that you are in something very special.
That's right.
And not the norm in a daily basis in such a busy place. So we really appreciated it, the hospitality and the experience as a whole.
No, it's fantastic. And thanks to the look, we've been talking about the community and being part of the community. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you because everyone has been very supportive. And as you know, we've been here for almost 3 years and everybody has embraced us from the beginning. So it's been fantastic.
Well, it's a wonderful concept. And I know worldwide it's luxurious. It's just first class, very sophisticated. One of my writers, Jennifer Franklin, right now is in Vietnam and Hong Kong on a media trip. And she stayed at Mandarin Oriental in Hong Kong. I believe that might have been courtesy of you. So she's been posting pictures for the last few days, and pictures everywhere, and she's probably having a trip of a lifetime right now, and I know she really appreciated the Mandarin, so
terrific.
Thank you for that.
No,
and as you mentioned, one of the things you did just mention is that you've been here for 3 years, so
yes.
It was a different concept. You folks came in and revamped and took over 3 years ago. And what's different about the Mandarin? What kind of changes came in? And, you know, in the restaurant, the spa, there's a lot of things that happened, I think.
Absolutely. Frankly, more than anything, when I arrived in March of 2012 and we reflagged the property in May of 2012, to a certain degree, it was a matter of looking at the colleagues, which we retained. We felt very passionate about making sure that those colleagues continued to work for us. It was like doing a DNA change to a certain degree, telling them, forget about everything you know, and now we're going to show you the Mandarin Oriental way. And it is different. More than anything, we talked about customization in the spa. It's the same thing throughout the hotel. It's reading the customer, seeing how he or she is interacting with us, understanding that level of engagement. We also have residences, for example. So the many people that live on property, I think it's important that we as individuals know them well enough to know, for example, that, you know, Mr. X doesn't like to be engaged in the morning because he's rushing to work. On the other hand, when he returns, he likes to talk about the weather or about a promotion that we're doing in the restaurant or the spa. So it's that fine tuning of, as I said, determining the right level of engagement. Mm-hmm. We partnered with Bill Lowe Gallery. Mm-hmm. So you may know, as you walk through the property, his artwork is throughout the public spaces on our rotation. So we've received many accolades from our guests that say, one, it's like walking into an art gallery every time I come with a different piece on the display, which is great. And then, of course, the subtle touches that we've done, change the uniforms to reflect our Oriental heritage, making sure that they understand the Asian way of hospitality, which in essence, it's all about doing things very discreetly. So, for example, if we're dining in the restaurant and I drop my napkin, none of us should realize, number one, that I dropped it, and then the colleague brought a new one and put it next to me without anybody realizing. So it's a guest that walks out, and we know that it's going to rain in 3 hours. We offer him an umbrella, right? But that guest may not know because he arrived late at night. So it's very anticipatory, and it's very custom in design.
I like that a lot, and that's the Oriental way. And let's talk about the Oriental tradition, because you folks have something special coming up in February.
Yes, we're very excited. It'll be our third celebration of the
Chinese
New Year.
I'll be there this year.
Good. So it's February 19th, and it is from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And we celebrate, it's a Chinese lunar calendar, so we celebrate the year of the goat. So for those individuals that were born this year, the zodiac sign as it relates to the goat represents somebody that is compassionate and helpful. So we recognize that in the celebration. But in essence, it's a festive evening where we have the traditional lion dance. We have a selection of hors d'oeuvres for our guests. And of course, we have the traditional calligraphy. Individual that is going to be, you know, writing names for our guests and so on and so forth. And then we have a great partnership with Cathay Pacific, the airline company. And I have to say, they've been very supportive of us. And once again, this year, the grand prize will be a round trip tickets on business class to Shanghai in China, including a three-night stay at Mandarin Oriental Pudong, which is in Shanghai.
Wow. Well, so, let me just say that is how Jennifer got this trip. She won this at the event last year. So it couldn't have gone to a better person, because she'll write about Mandarin Oriental, she'll write about the trip. And she was so excited. I got an email after that event. So thank you to Cathay Pacific and Mandarin Oriental.
And we hope that the listeners will ring in the hotel and will be purchasing tickets.
And I'm assuming the tickets are available on your website as well? Or
actually, the easiest way would be, and if I may,
I'll
pass along a phone number. It's 404-995-7531. Just by dialing that number, they can reserve their tickets. It's $65 per individual, and that includes valet parking. And we also have a special discounts for children. And of course, children are a key component of this as well. Last year was the year of the horse, so we had a wonderful horse in the front of the hotel. The first year in 2013 was the year of the snake.
I hope you didn't have snakes. You had real snakes?
We did have snakes.
Oh, my goodness.
And people could touch the snakes and feel it. And this is the year of the goat, so don't be surprised if we have some goats in the front of the building. But it's very exciting, and I have to say it's a wonderful way for Mandarin Oriental to represent our heritage.
I'm very excited because I've never been to a Chinese New Year celebration, so this will be a lot of fun for me.
Good.
But before Chinese New Year, we also have Valentine's Day. Is there anything special going on for that?
Yes, we have various packages. We have a special dinner in our cafe, and that is $75 per person. But going back to the spa, we have fantastic offers, not only for couples, but also singles. So they can come and enjoy the spa. Anybody that is interested in an art component, we have a great partnership with Atlanta Ballet, where we're going to be showcasing a Romeo and Juliet performance. So the package includes tickets to that. And that applies anytime February 6th through the end of the month, and starting at $420. And that includes the overnight stay, rose petal, turn down, chocolate-covered strawberries, as well, of course, as a souvenir and the tickets to the performance. So very exciting. Actually, February is going to be a really, really fun month for the property.
That sounds like it. Now, I also want to say, I'm sure you have a very long history in the hospitality industry, and all of these special detail things that you're mentioning, I know must have come through years of honing those skills yes. with the different companies you've been with. But it sounds like you've had 13 years of experience with Mandarin Oriental, first in San Francisco, then in Washington, D.C., and in New York as well. I mean, mm-hmm. great cities to be in before coming to Atlanta. How do you like Atlanta?
I absolutely love it. I have to say I've been through a discovery search of the different neighborhoods, and that to me is what makes it so appealing, that there is a neighborhood for everyone. And I've settled in Midtown on the west side for now, but my family is joining in a couple of months, so who knows, right?
Buckhead. You work in Buckhead, you must live in
yes,
Buckhead.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's just, you know, keeping the brand.
Most certainly,
right?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Could you tell our listeners how they can find out more about Mandarin Oriental? Website,
sure.
Twitter, everything else that we need to know?
My pleasure, absolutely. So the website is mandarinoriental.com, more specific to us, /Atlanta. And then, of course, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is MO_Atlanta. And we're also on Facebook and Google Plus.
And you guys do a great job of your newsletters. Vildana, who's in studio observing with you today, does a terrific job on the newsletters. I always know what's going on. That's how I found out about Chinese New Year.
Good.
So we're looking forward
for
to being
support,
there.
Thanks for your
support, Joanne. You're very, very welcome. As you know, we are pro-business, all unabashedly pro-business here. So we're happy to support in any way we can. And thank you again, Rob, for being with us
afternoon.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So my final guest today, this is very exciting. I think the segue from Mandarin Oriental Atlanta doing things for singles and couples and romantic mm-hmm. things segues perfectly into Sarah Catherine Smith, the founder, owner, CEO of One-on-One Matchmaking. So welcome, Sarah
Thank
Catherine,
you for
again
having
to you. Sarah Catherine is a 16-year veteran of the dating industry. She's one of the most respected names in matchmaking. She's been profiled as an authority on relationships and singles issues by The Wall Street Journal, Oprah Winfrey Show, CNN, Cosmopolitan, Men's Health, and many others. Amazing list of names here. Her expertise has led to more than 200 marriages and serious relationships. A stickler for excellence in member service, Sarah Catherine is personally involved with every one-on-one matchmaking client. That's quite a record, young lady.
It's been fun. It's been 16 years.
Wow. And are you a native Atlantan or did you come here from somewhere else?
Oh, yes. I'm born and raised in Atlanta and I started this business after graduating from the University of Georgia. So I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And it's evolved quite a bit over the years, but I love what I do. And I think that when you hire something as specific as matchmaking, you want a local person managing it.
Mm-hmm. Again, someone who understands the community and the people who live here.
Exactly. Right.
So what makes you a good matchmaker? I you know, I've always liked to think of myself as somebody who can sort of see two people and figure out that they go together, because I was actually fixed up. I'm mm-hmm. married to someone that I dated on a blind date, which I said I would never do, and ended up marrying this man who both the husband and wife recognized that we were a good fit.
That's awesome.
But what makes you a good matchmaker? What made those people good matchmakers?
Well, that is a gift that somebody would give that to you, because people don't set each other up anymore. Either people get married so much later these days, or there's so many other resources. What I do is old school matchmaking. It's one-on-one, and we do it by hand. And so when people are working with us, the first thing we have to do is diagnose what their problem is. You know, why are they coming to us today? Because you don't call a matchmaker unless you need a matchmaker. And maybe they're frustrated, or they're recently out of a divorce. Maybe they're getting nowhere because they're doing things that sabotage their dating life. And so not only do we set people up on dates, but we work with them to provide feedback through the course of this so that they can remove the obstacles that they're putting in their own way.
And what's the typical client?
Typical client is 30s and 40s, never married or divorced. We do have some folks in their 50s. A lot of them want to get married and have families. All of them have tried internet dating to some level and are frustrated with it. And we love single professionals. 98% of our folks have college degrees. Half of them are entrepreneurs, lots of doctors, consultants, lawyers, professional business people who are ready to find the right one.
So when you're trying to match these folks up, what do you show them? Like, what do you share with them that helps you or them decide whether they even want to meet that person?
The first thing that I try to do is I look for people with similar backgrounds. Because if you're from the Northeast and your husband's from the Northeast, even something as simple as that can make you feel as though you've known each other for longer than you have. So that chemistry is going to be quicker to develop. So similar backgrounds, but opposite temperaments, because the firecracker doesn't always go well with another firecracker. And nurturers sometimes
that creates
need
an explosion.
Yeah, right. So sometimes nurturing people need to be with type A folks. So we do our best to make that kind of thing work. And really throughout the course of it, we work with them to find out what didn't work in the past. Because usually people want to steer very clear of that.
Mm-hmm. Are photos important?
Oh, goodness, yes. Absolutely. Men are visual creatures. It doesn't matter how much we try to fight it. Women absolutely need to dress and look the part. And I preach this all the time. I actually did an event for singles just last Saturday night in Buckhead at Genki. And one of the girls showed up in a lovely, little bit revealing top, tight top with a blazer. Very professional but sexy. A skirt and heels. And another girl showed up with one of those blanket scarves and a turtleneck around her neck. You couldn't see a curve on this woman. She might as well have been wearing a burqa. And so it was interesting that all the guys gravitated immediately to the woman who showed her curves. And it wasn't lewd. It wasn't unattractive. It just simply was that men are visual. They want to see your legs. They want to see what you actually look like and not have to guess.
I think there's also a confidence factor, because if someone's wearing something that's covering them up, they may not have the best confidence either.
Exactly. Exactly. And so when it comes to pictures, we actually don't always show pictures because that can slow everything down. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, we don't have model quality pictures of every single person that we represent. So we do not show pictures unless it's the VIP level. And just like John was talking about the exclusivity and the luxury products, we have several different businesses. One is called 8 at 8, and we get four single men and four single women to go to dinner at 8 o'clock. It's very fun, low pressure. It's about $500. We also have a dating service called 1-on-1, which is setting one single person up with one single person. Prices for that start at $3,500. But then we've started a luxury division for our VIPs, and those are for folks that literally fly in here from all over the Southeast, not to mention dozens of Buckhead and Georgia residents who work with us to find at the highest level of service. And for them, it's about customization, and we do show pictures. We throw dedicated bachelorette searches. Oftentimes, they want to date people decades younger than themselves. And that's not something that we talk into unless it makes sense and that what they're bringing to the table is desirable enough for folks that they're also looking for it.
Well, the photo aspect, I have to say, must be kind of interesting. I'm sure you have some good horror stories for us, but and we might ask you one or two. But the photo thing, you know, when people do these dating sites, I mean, how realistic is it? I mean, I think sometimes those photos, you wonder if they're even real.
Well, usually, you know, people actually make the biggest mistake by putting too many photos up. You know, they should just go for two or three good ones, not 18. One of the worst things that people do on internet dating sites is that it's almost like a geography lesson. Here I am in Timbuktu. Here I am in Budapest. It doesn't matter. You know, you need a good picture of yourself that's flattering and makes you look cute and friendly to talk to. That's it. Stop with the long distance ones.
Okay, so tell us a few stories. There's got to be some good ones here.
Generally, the worst stories are involved around alcohol. You know, too much alcohol can really show some terrible sides of one another. We end up finding out things about our clients that we didn't know through the feedback that we receive about them as well. But we've had some horrible stories just with, you know, people excusing themselves and just leaving a date or showing a date, or, you know, people are very inconsiderate sometimes.
Have you ever fired a client?
Of course. Every year I have to fire clients. And it's generally ones that sleep together too soon or involve too much alcohol. And we've had some people that are very verbose when it comes to texting, to the point where, you know, one guy's like, I got 72 texts from this girl in one weekend. Could you please make her stop? And at that point, we just have to kick her out.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Oh, boy.
You can't control people. They do what they want.
Of course. Well, and you're acting as an agent for them and trying to help them, and they're not helping themselves. And then you realize these problems were probably there in prior situations.
Right.
And they may or may not have been honest about it with you.
That's right. And one of the biggest challenges of running our service is when we're successful, we lose two clients. So we're constantly recruiting for more talent, so to speak, or inventory, I guess. And and so what's great is that a lot of times the people that are truly quality and wonderful, they get snapped up right away.
Mm-hmm.
They're not on the market for very long.
Yeah. Well, that's the way the product is designed, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Any sort of seasonality to what you do? Is there a busy time of year? Like, is this a busy time? Because as Rob said, we have Valentine's right around the corner.
This is our absolute busiest time. And I don't ever remember a busier year. I mean, we have been absolutely inundated with with business since Christmas. And between Christmas and Valentine's is traditionally our busiest time of the year. But we're having fun. It's extremely extremely exciting to see the business grow.
Are there other times of the year that are busy too? Or is this sort of like a really...
This is definitely the busiest time of the year, but anytime it's chilly in the air is when people start being interested in kind of snuggling in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about success stories? You've had some good success stories, it sounds like, with mm-hmm. your business here mm-hmm. in Buckhead. Mm-hmm. Tell us some of the
Hundreds
success stories.
Hundreds of marriages. One of my favorite things is I'm an Atlanta native. I've lived here my whole life. Is to be at a restaurant and to spot somebody and look at them in the eye and think, I've met you before. How do I know you? And they'll say, oh, I did 8 at 8, 10 years ago, and I met my husband there. And I'll say, I never knew that. You never told me. So I take a picture and try to put it on social media or whatever. But my job is, just to let them meet one another and see what happens. We've had people become each other's best friends, bridesmaids, travel companions, business partners. What we do is bring people together. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a connector of people. So it makes me happy when what happens at those events transpires into bigger and better things.
So you love networking in general too, because I can see that all over your face.
I love people. I find people more interesting than television, than the internet, than reading their stories. I get bored with my own story. I love to hear what people have done and can contribute.
Well, I think as of today, you found several places where you can encourage your yes. matches that you've made to go. You'll have an amazing American steakhouse to go to yes. later on in the summer, and yeah. sending folks to Corso Coffee and sending them to a romantic right. getaway at the Mandarin Oriental for the spa or for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And you've got a lot of options in the room here. Mm-hmm, I knew mm-hmm. this would be a great crew to have together. What about the future for you? 2015, any exciting plans or growth for your business?
You want to continue to grow the VIP segment, because there's so many, Georgia is just such a wonderful hub of commerce and brain activity, I feel like, for the entire state in the Southeast region. I feel like we have not even begun to scratch the surface on what we can do. Services are higher than ever. People will pay for services in the South, unlike I feel like they have in the past. Cities like New York, people are used to paying for service. And in Atlanta, I want to elevate it to the next level. So I'm flattered and thrilled that Mandarin and that other fantastic businesses are flocking here. Mm-hmm. One of the most important things that we've done with our business was to also secure a fantastic lease. Charlie Loudermilk gave us a shot when Buckhead had torn down everything in sight, and there was just a little strip on the Buckhead Triangle, which is where my office is right now. We are one of the last remaining storefronts right on the Buckhead Triangle, and I'm praying to God every day that they don't rip it down anytime soon, but in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy right where I am, because we are at Main and Main in terms of business in mm-hmm. Atlanta, and especially the luxury perception of Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great storefront location. You drive by it every day. Anytime you're going down Peachtree and you look off to the right and you see Feather Baby, mm-hmm. who has been one of our advertisers as well, and we see you, mm-hmm. and obviously the Buckhead Theater. So it is a great strip, mm-hmm. and it is a piece of history.
It's important.
And that park being redone is going to be a really mm-hmm. nice view for you as well. Mm-hmm. Well, it's very exciting to have you on, to meet you in person. We appreciate your support of Simply Buckhead Magazine as well, and hope that we can support you in return, and very excited to have you today. Rich, I know you have questions. We've had some great guests, and before we finish off with Sarah Catherine, I want her to tell our audience how they can find her. We obviously know the address, but anything on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram?
Sure.
Website?
If you Google Matchmaking in Atlanta, you'll find us. It's called oneononematchmaking.com. And we do all the social media outlets as well as YouTube. So,
and you are one with the number one.
You can spell it out either way, spelled out or using the numbers. One-on-one matchmaking. Yes.
Very good. Well, thank you again. Great to have you here. Great to hear your perspective and the pitfalls.
Thank you.
Pitfalls as well as the successes. And Rich, I know you're antsy over there. I can see you have questions for everybody.
Just a little bit. Yeah, just some comments or feedback. First of all, lots of activity on Twitter and social media.
Love it.
Over 30 photos so far and counting. And then, just some comments on the coffee dudes. Are they still here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds, ashamed to say I haven't been over there yet. Yeah, so that's next on my list.
Well, they just opened December 20th. I mean, we were there the week after because we got back from our vacation.
I've been hearing the buzz about it. Mm-hmm. Sorry. but so But so y'all deliver? Because we need some better coffee in here or whatever in the studio. Make that happen? Yeah.
Let me know. I'll deliver.
Just tweet David. He'll be up here with a holder.
It's funny because all three restaurants are in the same spot. I was used to driving around in my car to 14 restaurants. So, so if you want me to deliver, I'm happy to get my car.
Yeah, because we got the mugs or whatever. We just need some coffee in our mugs or whatever. Yeah.
We'll give you the mugs also.
All right. Yeah. So very cool to have you all here. I know we met when the before you all opened and at the Buckhead Atlanta opening. So it's very exciting to have you all here in the studio. And we'll talk about your delivery prices or fees or what may involve. I think I really need to go there to experience.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I can't believe you built it in Italy, tore it down, dismantled it, and brought it over here.
We had great local contractors doing the framing of the space, et cetera, but all of the millwork and
that's
the
bizarre
equipment in cool. Italy.
Yeah, that's intense.
It's beautiful, serious. Right down to the subway tile. I remember the day we did the tour, people were asking about that subway tile that was in there and the piece of art that was specially made for the location, too.
Yeah. And for Rob Lowe, is that really? <Yes. laughs> You must get as comments about as my name, Rich Casanova, right?
Yeah. Very easy to get into restaurants.
Well, hold on, Sarah. We'll talk in a second here. Yeah. So, but the Mandarin, I'm a little bit bummed, a little bit disappointed because I applied every day to win the penthouse suite on HGTV.
Ah.
That was in your property, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you didn't even talk
absolutely.
About that?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
That
I
was huge that. News, right? This was the urban oasis.
Correct.
For a global network. And it was right out here, our window. We can see you from our window.
On the 53rd floor. Yeah. We were 58 stories high. So this is on the 53rd floor. And there is a lucky winner. And I have to say, it's been great exposure, not only for HGTV, but also for Mandarin Oriental as well.
I mean, they only give away one urban oasis for the entire year. And it's right out of your window, right here in your property. And I wanted to have you on the show beforehand, but I thought I might jinx it, or maybe I'd be disqualified, right, if we actually met and had this interview. So I missed out on that. So I got to get in now on the contest for the trip, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You probably can't rig that. We'll talk off the air. Yeah,
we can arrange something. Absolutely.
All right, so pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And then Sarah, so Rich Casanova, any discounts for me, or is that going to cost me extra, or what? Yeah.
Well, after we were on Oprah, we actually did get a lot more females than males for a while. But Atlanta, the numbers are pretty even right now, so it's pretty good.
And you were talking about being earlier about being fixed, or no, fixing people up, right? Yeah. A little different,
fixed.
Yeah. Sorry. But one last comment is I was doing the Twitter and tweeting you guys on Twitter, and I went to type in 101 matchmaking, and as I'm typing it, it first came up 101 Mandarin. Yeah, what's the odds or whatever, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I got the right Twitter handle, yeah.
Thank
so.
You.
A marriage made by a matchmaker.
There you go. All right, so I conclude with my questions. No further
Excellent.
Questions for the jury.
Thank you so much to our guests today. It was a great show. Really That's appreciate right. y'all being here this afternoon. It's a nice chunk of time out of your day, so we really appreciate you spending it with us. And great show, everybody, and we'll be back next week.
Absolutely. See you then.